The Science Show on RN, where we're also celebrating China. Here's Aditya Nair.
The moon has intrigued humans throughout our history. In the 60s, the whole world watched the Apollo moon landing, but interest has waned in recent years. The last manned mission was in 1972. Since then, interest in Earth's celestial body only spikes during the occasional eclipse. Attention nowadays has shifted to Mars, with organizations like SpaceX hoping to land humans on the red planet by 2024. But it's a gigantic ambition. Big questions remain about how to sustain humans over long periods of time beyond Earth. And scientists are going back to the moon for answers. Previous missions have looked at the moon's near side, that is, the side we see from Earth. Now, the focus goes further, to the dark side of the moon. Or as scientists remind us, the far side. It's not dark, we just can't see it from Earth. There's a reason why we have never ventured there, and it's all about communications. How do you send radio signals back to Earth when the entire mass of the moon is in the way? China hopes to solve this problem, and in the process, may usher in a new era of space exploration. Chang'e 4, named after the goddess of the moon, is a space mission that is garnering attention from all over the world. In December, China will land an unmanned lunar rover on the moon's far side. A specially placed communications satellite will then allow these modules to transmit information back to Earth. So why is China's mission so important? This is Brad Tucker, an astrophysicist from the Australian National University in Canberra.
Chang'e 4 is ambitious all around. Going on the far side of the moon and its scientific goals, I find highly fascinating, and it's all part of China's push into space and really getting another main space power on board to allow things to happen. The far side of the moon has actually been a fascination of astronomers and space scientists for decades because it's this perfectly quiet, isolated place. So firstly, the far side of the moon is what we call the dark side of the moon, but it's not dark. It just, when it rotates, this far side of the moon is facing towards the Earth, but we're facing away from it. So we never see the far side of the moon, but it does get sunlight. But because it's always essentially pointing away for the most part from the Earth, it means it's a radio quiet place. It's the quietest place, we think, in the nearby universe, because the loudest place in the nearby universe is the Earth. And the other side of the moon, the side of the moon that we see, is blocking it. So one of the ambitions is to test, is this a great place to put radio facilities? Because there are projects that have been designed to put a large radio telescope on the far side of the moon. So the moon acts as this giant big shield. Now, for communicating data, that means you can do ultra-low frequencies, which is actually more efficient for transmitting data. Anything related to radio astronomy, understanding the gas in our Milky Way, all the way to the first stars, we always want the most radio quiet place. That's why Australia has always been an expert in radio astronomy. The only better place pretty much is not on this Earth. It's the backside of the moon.
And it's not just the radio silence that makes the far side more interesting than the one with which we are familiar. We know from past missions and images that the far side seems to be different geologically.
So when you look at the moon and you see those dark gray areas, we called Mari, or they're actually the most recent volcanic lava flows, those aren't really on the far side of the moon. So this might help tell us how the moon was formed, why the moon is in what we call tidally locked and it orbits in a specific way with the Earth. And this might help give us clues to composition and future use of the moon as a stepping stone to Mars.
The idea of the moon being a pit stop on the way to Mars is one that is quickly gaining merit. Gravity is the enemy of rocket launches, and the moon has significantly less gravity than Earth. This is Warwick Holmes, a space engineer at the University of Sydney.
So if you can build a big rocket on the moon, you've got 1/6 of the gravity. So you've then got 1/6 of the structural problems. 1/6 the gravity has an enormous benefit if you're then going to then try to go onto Mars. The main reason why they're going back to the moon is not only just the science interest, right, which there always will be. If we are serious about these expeditions to Mars, which you're constantly hearing on the news, The brutal reality is any human missions will not be going to Mars in the next 10, 20, 30 years. And the reason I say that is we have to develop the engineering and the systems for sustaining life autonomously for very long periods of time without any human assistance on the moon first. So, for example, if we're going to have recirculating breathing systems and growing our own food and having completely self-sustaining, autonomous, habitable modules, which, of course, people will have to live on if they go to Mars, you do it on the moon first. So if something goes wrong, you can come back within 3 days, worst case. If something goes wrong on Mars, it takes 3 months to fly there. But the minute you do your landing, the separation of the planets means it's 2 years before you can come back. So they have to do this sensibly, an intelligent, slow, progressive way. You don't just go straight to Mars.
But before we can start to figure these things out, we need to actually reach the far side of the moon. So how is China doing this? In May, China's Qiuqiao communications satellite was launched towards a special point in the moon's orbit. Once Chang'e 4 lands in December, this satellite will act as a relay point for signals back to Earth.
They're using a very, very clever technique there. It's called a Lagrange point, L2 Lagrange point. Now, that's an exotic name for what turns out to be a gravitationally stable point in space as a consequence of the dynamics of the orbit of the moon around the Earth and the gravity. You can imagine you've got two gravitational bodies halfway between the two. You imagine there's a null point. You've got half the gravity from one side of the body and half the gravity from the other body. But when you're rotating, there's also a centripetal force or an acceleration force, like when you're spinning a piece of wire around in your hand with a mass on the end. So not only do you have static gravity balancing itself, you've also got a balancing act with this third point, which is the centripetal rotation attracted by gravity. You balance all those forces together, and it turns out that there's a point about 60,000 kilometers behind the dark side of the moon out in space, which is gravitationally stable, effectively. And what that means is if you put a satellite at this L2 Lagrange point, it will just stay there without using any fuel. Effectively stationary point with respect to the dark side of the moon, so it's permanently hovering above that dark side, and then that becomes a relay point, which means that the rover on the dark side of the moon, on the surface, is talking to this Lagrange point, which is actually, in radio transmitting terms, it can actually transmit past the moon and get to Earth because of the visibility angles. And so it's an incredibly clever utilization of a gravitational special effect to put a pseudo-stationary satellite as a relay station for the dark side of the moon exploration. And this solves this problem of radio frequency visibility for communication.
With this technique, the rover on the moon's surface should have no trouble sending information back to Earth. So where will the Chinese land their spacecraft? The Atkin Basin, the moon's oldest and deepest crater.
The reason the Chinese want to go there is because this is the deepest hollowed out bit of the moon, which means it's closest to the mantle, this inner layer of the moon, which we've never seen before. They believe that if they can land on this and do some direct in situ measurement of the surface, they're going to find some more exotic minerals that have never been seen before. And in fact, there is indication from the orbiting spacecraft that there's iron and thorium and other exotic minerals just in this basin, which exists nowhere else on the moon.
In addition to searching for minerals and utilizing the radio silence of the far side, Chang'e 4 will conduct a range of experiments, some using life forms carried from Earth. The goal is to create a small ecosystem consisting of silkworms, potatoes, and other plants to see if they can flourish. It could be a step towards food production on the moon and maybe a lunar base. The mission will also carry out experiments for other countries. Brad Tucker.
People can focus on building part of a big experiment. So I think the rovers and the satellites are built by China, but they have instruments from Germany, Sweden, the Netherlands, I think even Saudi Arabia. And that's where it's becoming a very international thing. And that's what I think the neat thing is when we think about places like the moon, is it's the epitome of international cooperation, that when we go beyond the Earth, we are not a country, we are Earthlings in the true sense.
I'll see you on the dark side of the moon.
That report from Aditya Nair, who's studying environmental engineering and journalism at Wollongong University.